In the glittering world of ultra-high net worth individuals, a single wedding can cost more than most people's lifetime earnings. Lies and Weddings plunges us into this rarefied atmosphere where aristocratic bloodlines meet new Asian wealth in a combustible mix of ambition, desire, and family secrets. The story revolves around the aristocratic Gresham family, headed by British Earl Francis and his Hong Kong-born wife, Arabella, whose seemingly perfect facade conceals financial ruin. Living next door is Dr. Thomas Tong and his brilliant daughter, Eden, whose lives have been intertwined with the Greshams for decades. When a series of lavish weddings brings these families together across continents, long-buried secrets emerge that will transform everyone's understanding of love, loyalty, and identity. What makes this world so fascinating isn't just the private jets and palatial estates, it's how wealth amplifies human nature. Money doesn't just buy things, it buys the illusion of control. And when that illusion shatters, as it inevitably does, we discover what truly matters. Imagine having everything money can buy, yet still feeling empty. That's the paradox at the heart of this story. Eden Tong and Rufus Gresham maintain a lifelong friendship, primarily through daily texts, as their lives take different paths. Their comfortable intimacy allows them to discuss everything from Rufus's pre-wedding manicure to Eden's dreams about her deceased mother appearing as Glinda the Good Witch. Their decades-long connection carries unacknowledged deeper feelings beneath its familiar rhythm. The Gresham family exhibits stark contrasts. Countess Arabella, born in Hong Kong but embraced by British aristocracy, evolved from being mistaken as her child's nanny to becoming a style icon who transformed Greshamsbury Hall with her Arabella chic aesthetic. Behind Arabella's success lies cruelty toward Augusta, whom she body-shamed as Jew Pa, pork chop, while favoring her other children. This stems from Arabella's own childhood trauma in Hong Kong, where she was called Goat Girl, wounds that persisted despite later success. Earl Francis, though projecting aristocratic perfection, hides that the family is completely, utterly flat broke after their Hawaiian resort's destruction. His desperation drives him to borrow heavily from billionaire Rene Tan, endangering their ancestral home. Augusta's Hawaii wedding becomes the catalyst for multiple converging storylines. Planned by Arabella to flaunt family wealth, it gathers European royalty, spiritual advisors, fashion journalists, and reluctant participants like Eden and her father, who were manipulated into attending. The Belaloha Resort itself becomes a character, featuring a Balinese pavilion and an ice palace carved as Norway's Borgen Stave Church to honor the groom's heritage. This tension between authenticity and appearance culminates in Augusta's costume change that horrifies her mother but delights her new husband. The section balances humor in the excessive luxury with genuine emotional stakes. Poignant moments emerge, like Rufus realizing his feelings for Eden as she dances with another man. When Rufus finally confesses his love to Eden in a forest clearing, their intimate moment broadcasts to everyone through his still-active microphone. This humiliation is immediately followed by news of a volcanic fissure sending lava toward them, forcing characters to confront what truly matters. Extreme wealth appears both liberating and constraining throughout the story. Luis Felipe Tan, billionaire heir to Rene Tan's fortune, exemplifies this paradox. In Los Angeles, he's surrounded by enablers indulging his worst impulses, ordering his bodyguard to assault a restaurant host, and keeping art pets, artists he houses in exchange for artwork he later sells at profit. His cynical belief that everyone has a price reveals how wealth has warped his view of relationships, stemming partly from his father's torment, including separation from his mother. Martha Dung represents a different approach to wealth, transforming her father's $3 billion into $50 billion while battling her mother's marriage-focused sexism. When Martha and Rufus meet in Morocco, they bond over parallel barriers to genuine connection. his extreme attractiveness and her extreme wealth creating similar obstacles. Money, we discover, doesn't solve problems but transforms them into more elaborate versions of the same human struggles for belonging and authentic connection. The novel builds momentum through revelations that expose buried secrets, adding emotional depth while maintaining reader engagement. Eden's parentage forms the central mystery. When Arabella blackmails Eden to marry Louis Felipe to save Greshamsbury Hall, she reveals documents suggesting Eden is Thomas's niece, born to Mary Gow and Thomas's brother Henry, who died in the opening scene. This revelation shakes Eden's sense of identity. The truth is more complex. Her uncle Roger Gow is actually Rene Tan, who changed his name after prison. Upon meeting Eden, Rene recognized her and secretly made her heir to his $90 billion empire. These revelations work because they're grounded in character rather than convenience. Thomas raised Eden out of compassion, while Renee's support represents his attempt at redemption. As deception layers peel away, authentic selves emerge. The most satisfying moments come when characters embrace their true identities. Eden accepting her heritage, Rufus pursuing photography, and Beatrice choosing love over social expectation. In a world where appearances often trump reality, happiness comes to characters who choose authenticity over performance. Rufus transforms from Viscount St. Abbs, valued for his title and looks, to Francisco Ives, an artist seeking recognition for talent rather than pedigree. Augusta's wedding captures this theme when she removes her elaborate Valentino gown to reveal a simple hemp dress underneath. This act horrifies her mother Arabella, but delights her husband Max, suggesting genuine connection requires seeing beyond facades. Eden's challenge is different. As a Chinese woman in white British society, she spent years carefully managing her behavior around the Greshams. Her journey involves recognizing how this performance has constrained her and finding courage to express her true feelings for Rufus. The novel concludes with Rufus spontaneously taking Eden to the airport, requesting tickets to anywhere, as long as it's with her and as long as my mother can't ever find us. The ultimate triumph of authenticity over social obligation. In a world where private islands can be purchased on a whim, genuine connection emerges as the one thing money cannot buy. The intertwined stories of the Greshams, Tongs, and Tans illuminate this truth. The novel thrives on contrasts, Arabella's curated aristocratic persona versus Eden's warmth, Louis Felipe's attempt to purchase love through wealth versus Rufus's vulnerability, Augusta's extravagant wedding versus her authentic hemp dress reveal. Money neither inherently corrupts nor guarantees happiness. It merely amplifies existing character traits and tests values. Those who find fulfillment maintain their humanity despite wealth, recognizing connections matter more than possessions or status. When Rufus and Eden leave their gilded cages for a modest art gallery in Taipei, they choose passion over inheritance and authenticity over appearance. Their path offers a model for happiness transcending wealth. In a world obsessed with having it all, perhaps the greatest luxury is the freedom to choose what truly matters.